Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on August 14th, 2020. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry. And you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. This is what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us as co-host, the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Kelly Stroman. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com. And executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie. Kelly, how are you?
Excellent, Joe. Kelly, it's the weekend.
Yes, it is. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
Yeah. Well, what's going on around the chamber, Kelly?
What is going on in Manhattan Beach? There's always something going on. It was a relatively calm week, which is good. We've had so much activity in Manhattan Beach lately. Mm-hmm. I think people are, you know, finally adapting to all the, you know, you have to wear a mask in public rules and the enforcement of it. But I've also noticed that a lot of people are, you know, kind of heading out, taking last minute, you know, staycations and drivecations, whatever, short haul, they call them, vacations too, just to get it in before school starts. Because, you know, school starts in like 2 weeks. And even though I'm pretty sure all the schools in this area are going to be starting online for the fall, I think people are like, okay, we got to get a break here. You know, so we're seeing a lot of movement. We're also seeing a lot of visitors, you know, coming in. And it's still interesting because most of the visitors definitely are kind of regional. A lot of people coming from, you know, the hotter areas, the valley, like Pasadena and Glendale, coming down, staying for the weekend. But there's been a whole resurgence of, you know, the drive market, as they call them, people coming from, you know, Arizona, Bakersfield, Fresno, Northern California, like Central Valley, coming down and enjoying our nice weather, cooler weather, but also the beaches too. So, there's a lot of buzz in Manhattan Beach with everybody, you know, visiting, but, still we're in-person eventless still at this point. Although I did see, Jackie, did you see Shade? Manhattan Beach is bringing back their rosé soirée, a socially distanced rosé soirée.
Yes. That's exciting.
It is. It'll be interesting. You know, this is a struggle for everybody because we all talk about this and, you know, we all want to do events. We all want to see each other, you know, not even an event. Everybody's just kind of craving that human interaction. And, you know, you can say you're going to be socially distanced. You can recommend that, of course, set all the rules and everything. But It seems to be human behavior. You know, people like to gravitate towards each other. We've been talking a lot about, you know, an outdoor movie because we usually have our summer movie series at the Westeros, and we haven't been able to do that on the golf course. And so we've been, you know, trying to figure out a drive-in movie and other options. But
Kelly, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. I'm surprised. I mean, that they wouldn't do the movies at West Drift because, gosh, it's a big area. It's doors. I mean, they used to tape it off so there were aisles. I mean, they could tape it off with little, you know, six-person pods or something. I'm really surprised that they aren't doing that.
Well, I'm not sure who you're referring to as they, but the LA County Department of Health.
Yeah.
Bay is the Chamber and the West Drift and Street Food Cinema, and we want to do it, but the LA County Department of Health doesn't allow that. In LA County, you can only do drive-in movies, and even the cars have to be 6 feet apart. whatever, we can figure that out, you know, but it definitely presents a different type of challenge because to fit, you know, whatever, 150, 200 cars in a space 6 foot apart, you know, that creates, you need a bigger space. You've got the screen and so forth and so on. And it can really only be done in parking lots. You can't drive 200 cars onto a golf course that will, you know, ruin the integrity of the turf, right? So anyways, we're trying to figure that out. There have been some drive-in movies this summer around LA County. I've heard they're fun and people are just craving a movie right now. So we're talking about it, and the city is actually forming their own protocol, augmenting, taking what the LA County requires and looking if they want to make it any stricter or anything. So, hopefully we can get a movie in this fall because it would be fun. And if you're in your car, you can do it a little bit later in the day too, right? You know, or you don't have to worry about it being chilly out or something. So anyways, but I was happy to see Shade is doing their Rosé Soirée. I hope that goes well for them. Everybody likes Rosé and everybody likes a Soirée, so why not?
Rosé is a perfect, it's a perfect summer beverage, Rosé, you know?
It is, and I suspect, it's funny, a fun little fact, last weekend was the sidewalk sale in downtown Manhattan Beach, and I was in a meeting yesterday, and somebody said, well, I walked into, it must have gone well, because I walked into Bacchus Wines, which is, you know, in downtown on Manhattan Avenue, to get some rosé, and all the rosé was sold out. I kind of giggled, kind of like, you know, priorities, right?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So we have a really different event coming up next Wednesday. It's a Zoom seminar. We're going to be talking with our utility companies, which, you know, sounds a little like, but it's actually going to be very interesting because we have Waste Management, SoCalGas, and SoCalEdison all talking about their latest programs, renewable energy. Waste Management is going to be going over recyclables and the landscape of that and how it's really changed. There is, in Manhattan Beach, the trash, there's a new trash and recycling contract with Waste Management. They were the previous provider, and it's just a new, I think, 7-year contract. And the rates have gone up because of the world of recycling has massively changed. And people now are getting billed directly by Waste Management instead of through the city. So, you know, kind of the whole landscape of that has changed. And they're also offering bulk item pickups. They've changed their services, too. So we're going to have some fun talking trash and gas, as I say. And helping people understand and navigate that because all those fees are going up. So next Wednesday with the Chamber, it's free, but just register in advance on our website, manhattanbeachchamber.com, and you will get the Zoom link as soon as you register. But I encourage everybody to do it because it's going to be some nice updates. And then the other big news this week was we installed our new board of directors, and we have a new chairman of the board, which is the first woman of color ever as chairman of the board for the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. Latrice McLaughlin from Connecta is our new chair. So Congressman Ted Lieu joined us this week via Zoom and gave us, you know, some sage words of advice and swore them all in, and, you know, we're off and running. So big week for the Chamber of Commerce.
Wow. Yes, I shot Latrice a message last night on Facebook. I saw that. I wished her congratulations.
Yeah, she's so excited. You know, she's, I mean, Connecta, you know, is such an amazing partner with the chamber, and I think several South Bay chambers. And Latrice is the, you know, the community relations officer, and she's she's everywhere, you know, and she has such a good, she has her finger on the pulse of the South Bay for sure, and
a lovely person. Kelly, her and Sherry Kramer, you know, you see them every place. Yes.
Well, Sherry Kramer just joined our board of directors also. So she was installed officially. You know, Sherry, I've known for years and years and years. She's, as you just said, a very busy person. You know, she sits on several different boards of directors, committees, you know, groups, foundations, so many things. And I agree with you. They're kind of bookends out there. You see them.
Yeah.
Their names, you know, are synonymous with everything in the South Bay. So Latrice is, you know, our chairman or chairwoman, and Sherry was brought onto the board. Fabiola Ochoa with SoCal Gas joined the board of directors, as did Ann O'Brien from El Camino College. We've had Ann on the show before. So, and then everybody else was just reelected for, you know, a second term. And we had two people that kind of termed out and, you know, retired from the board. But we have 18 people on the board, quite a diverse group. Of men, women, we're female dominant now. The majority of the board, 11, are females. So very exciting things happening, you know, in the area, in the chamber, and all so timely. So we're very excited. I know Latrice is excited. She was installed and then went on vacation. She's kind of on vacation. So we'll get her on the show in September. And she's going to be back before that, but we'll get her on the show in September and talk to her about what she's got going on, because we've got some good things planned.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Fantastic.
Exciting.
Did you guys do anything interesting this week? Any new restaurants, anything, you know, any ventures outside of the,
actually,
you know,
I'll tell you what I've been doing. I don't know if you saw my weekend guide yesterday, but since this whole COVID thing started back in March, I'm not gardening. I'm landscaping. I am re-landscaping my backyard. I'm not kidding. We went very low maintenance, low water years ago, 15 years ago. We took out the lawn, you know, put in concrete pavers. We redid. Love the backyard. It's our oasis. But the ground cover I planted 15 years ago were succulents, and they've just were overgrown. And I said, this has to go. And when I say, last month it was over 1,000 pounds of succulents that I pulled out of the ground. I think it's probably closer to 1,500 pounds. 1,500 pounds at this point. So all the old is out, and now I've started the process of putting the new ground cover in. So and I'm actually going to continue that today. So this today and this weekend. So that's what I've been doing, keeping my hands busy, right? Keeping my everything busy.
And are you doing all this work yourself?
I am.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
and quite frankly, it's nice because my husband is working from home. He's been working from home from the very beginning, and he is just on the phone or on Zoom calls all day long, so it's nice to get out of the house. He has a tendency to walk around the house with the phone in his hand.
Yeah,
but, you know, can you just stay in the office, please? So it's really nice, you know, for several hours a day, I get out there and I do some manual labor, and it's good for the soul.
It is.
Right.
Too bad no nail salons are open. You can't get a manicure and pedicure, you know, to like repair the hands. There's a few of them doing it outdoor, but okay. Maybe by the time you're done with this project, they'll be back open again.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what's been keeping me busy and out of trouble. Yeah.
Nice. That's a good activity.
It is.
I am so
go ahead.
Excited. No, Jackie, I'm just excited about our guest. That's all.
That's what I was just going to say. That's what I was going to say before you got on the line, Kelly. Joe was like, I'm so excited. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm not missing this. This is great. He's very excited about the organization we're going to be talking about today. So, Joe, shall we get to it?
Please, Jackie, who is our guest today?
Okay, our guest this morning is Kim Fields, Executive Director for Grades of Green. Now, Kim has an impressive range of nonprofit and for-profit experience. Prior to joining Grades of Green, she was the Director of Business Development Youth Market for the American Heart Association, where she implemented strategies that yielded more than 30% in year-over-year revenue growth and created relationships that bolstered fundraising by 50%. Kim has also started up and led for-profit entrepreneurial ventures within diverse industries such as medical supplies, investments, hospitality, and retail. In her current role, Kim has done just an amazing job of increasing the fundraising pipeline and building new relationships that are benefiting Grades of Green in the present and for many years to come. She's a longtime resident of the South Bay with strong ties to the community. Her children attended Grandview Elementary, where Grades of Green originally started. As a local business owner, she opened the first bookstore coffee shop in Manhattan Beach, The Hungry Mind. She served as a board member for the Manhattan Beach Education Foundation and has been an ardent supporter of environmental arts, education, and equality organizations, including Grades of Green, for many years. Now, Kim has a Bachelor of Arts with an emphasis in economics from the University of California, Los Angeles, and took extensive coursework in economics and English literature at Cambridge University, England. So, Kelly and Joe, this morning, we're going to learn how Grades of Green works. Well, we know how it works, but our audience is going to learn how Grades of Green works and how it benefits the community. Welcome to the program, Kim. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I sound so wonderful. I should just listen to that.
I've got news for you, Kim. My bios never lie, all right? My intros, they never lie.
Right.
So.
Right.
No, that was great. I appreciate it. And, you know, I just got to say that you really had me at Rosé Soiree, so I don't know about that, but I'm looking into it, Kelly. I had not heard of that, but that definitely perked me up on this Friday, so thanks for sharing that.
They did it all. They've been doing that for several years pre-pandemic, and I don't believe they've had one since March for obvious reasons. So when I actually saw that kind of late last night on social media, I was like, oh, they're going to bring it back and try a social. I think it's going to be up on the rooftop deck and show. So I'll get you the information.
Yeah, I honestly, obviously through this whole COVID, I've been extremely strict. I've barely seen my son just because I've been so cautious. And I'm thinking, oh, I need to start venturing out. So maybe that'll be my first getting out experience. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that.
It will be exciting. It will be exciting. So what is Grades of Green doing and how are they adapting during COVID? Because can I just say, and I need to get this off my chest right now, kind of be like a little bubble bursting until I can say it. It has made me nuts to see all the plastic grocery bags coming back, and not the reusable ones that we all gathered over the last several years,
yeah.
But to see all those plastic bags, and I'm sure Kim, I know I'm you know, just barking up a tree on this,
yeah.
But I've been thinking about you so many times, and you guys are much more than that, but I know that's a massive part of what you guys believe and do is, you know, sustainability. So anyways, I won't talk anymore, but share with us what's going on with Grades of Green.
Kim,
I'm sorry, before we go into what's going on now, can you just give us a little background, give us a little bio on Grades of Green, what it is, when it started, how it started, just so people, as I said, we know what you do, but there's a lot of people out there listening that aren't familiar, so a little background.
Yeah, absolutely. So Grades of Green started a little over a decade ago, which I can't believe that. And there was four moms in here in Manhattan Beach, and their kids actually went to Grandview. Mine had just left at that point. And they really became aware that their children weren't getting any kind of education. I know it's hard to believe now, so I think we do get a lot of environmental education, but they weren't getting anything on the environment. And they would be coming home with these stacks of paper, you know, these folders, you know, all of these notices. There was no recycling at the school. So they really started and went to that school and said, hey, can we provide this? Can we, you know, engage the students? And they got on campus and they started these activities and these websites to really educate the kids on how important it is, you know, to care for the environment. And, you know, year later, other schools kind of started hearing about this, so they started Grades Green as a nonprofit at that time. And their real goal was to get these kids to understand why it's important to care for the environment, but then make it a habit. So that they really just wanted these kids to grow up, internalize, you know, these environmental safety messages and protection. So as they grow up, they will just care for the environment. And as this evolved, which was so amazing, which was really a grassroots situation, their programming started changing. They brought this trash-free lunch competition to Manhattan Beach, to Grandview. And then these other schools heard about it. They wanted to participate. And lo and behold, the district heard about it because they saved all this money. Each school, they were saving all this money on you know, their trash services and trash bags. So it gained a lot of traction in, oh my gosh, these kids are learning about the environment, we're helping the environment, but also financially it was a good thing for the district. And then they, you know, they started a website, and the city has been a huge supporter of Grades of Green since day one. So thank you so much, City of Manhattan Beach. And as that expanded, other areas heard about us and really started growing rapidly. But as we went on, as you can imagine, in a business, scalability is such an important factor. We only had so much money. Obviously, our funding comes from amazing supporters like Waste Management and Edison and SoCal Gas, which I think that's so great you're doing that next Wednesday. So we had to be conscious of that in our hands-on program, sending, you know, our mentors and advisors to these schools obviously wasn't scalable. So we actually came up 3 years ago with these virtual campaigns where we still provided this personal mentorship. We would have students at schools form teams. We would mentor them, but via phone or Zoom or over the web. They would then research the environmental project that they were passionate about. So our real goal is to now get these kids to find their passion and turn it into an environmental action. So we would do a campaign on waste, and we would, you know, they would learn all about waste and how it affected the environment, and then they would choose their project. So it could be plastic is a big waste, right? And they would research that. They would find out what in their community they could do or at their school, and then they would come up with a solution. When you talk about the plastic bag, really our kids from Grandview went to that city council, and many members that were involved at that time will tell you they were instrumental in getting that plastic bag banned, which then I think you know the history of that. City of Manhattan Beach had to go to the state Supreme Court to get this, you know, they tried to fight it. We won, and because of that, the whole state was able to actually ban bags. So these kids then became involved in actually taking action. So we don't just educate anymore. We really do have this program that they learn about the problem, they find a solution, and then they have to put it into action. And what's really cool about it is we also give eco grants, so it's a little competition. So these kids then, you know, put whatever their plan is into action. It could be cleaning up stuff. It could be advocating for a resolution. I mean, we let them, you know, be as creative as they want and give them the guidance. And then at the end, we do have a competition and we give eco grants so they can continue their project the next year. It's really exciting. The kids, I am in awe of what these kids do and the students do and their passion. So really, as we, you know, as COVID hit, all of our students were in full mode of, they had already planned their projects, getting ready to put it into action. And even though our program is virtual, right, as you can imagine, that was great. We have that down. All of a sudden, these kids are like, hey, I can't do my beach cleanup. Like, I can't do my Miracosta was do a paddleboard cleanup. Isn't that fun? Like in Redondo Beach. So they were going to have the kids on paddleboards with their bags and clean. And so very quickly had to pivot, right? So and the students were amazing. They're like, okay, how do we continue? Do you want to continue? And 86% of our team were able to complete their project in a different manner, right? So instead of doing the beach cleanup and actually being on paddleboards, they changed and did a Instagram contest on, you know, picking up litter. So we were able to pivot last year, and the students still provided these impacts and learned. But it also created an opportunity for us when we're looking at this coming year, is how to make sure when we start our program this year that we give them avenues so that they can make these impacts, whether they're in school or whether they're not. So, you know, that was kind of a long history of us, but, you know, that's where we're at. That's how we got through COVID. But, you know, I feel so fortunate working with students because they're just so positive and willing to try stuff and excited. So for us, although it was awful in so many ways, it really ended up being a positive experience for all of us. So we're excited for this.
Excellent. When you think about, you know, the environmental sort of place that we are in the country today, obviously the young people are going to be leading this effort in the future. And there hasn't been a tremendous amount of environmental activity in the last several years. What do you see as some of the future efforts that these young children, young kids, can involve themselves in going forward in the future? What are some of the things that you see on the horizon for kids to be involved with, or even adults to be involved with, things that we may not know of?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. We, our organization in particular, the real goal behind all of this is to build the next generation of eco leaders. I mean, flat out say that. We are putting our energies into this generation of students so that they can learn and grow. What's really interesting with the youth, and I've got to take the adults out of this. I mean, I feel strongly that we as adults, these older generations, really have left a problem up to the youth to take care of their future as well as their kids' future. So we are focused on the youth and making it a positive. You can make a change. You can make a small change, which is great, and we teach that. But really what we're trying to do is get them to understand that no matter what area they go into in their lives, whether it's the arts, whether it's film, whether it's science, whether it's engineering, they can make a difference for the environment. So we're creating a leadership program. We had one before, and we're creating a new one in which we're partnering with corporations in all of those areas. And the students will actually be able to work with those companies, learn how, you know, and the company does not have to be at all involved with the environment. You know, it could be Mattel. Mm-hmm. And they could learn how within Mattel what they're doing for the environment, whether it's, you know, technology-wise or packaging-wise. The art, you can be a filmmaker and have a dramatic effect. But we always go back to helping these students plug into their passion. And it might not be the environment right now, but if they can take their passion and somehow understand that it could benefit the environment, that's what we're looking for. I mean, we want them all to grow up. Every leader in this world, every action they take or decision they make should have the environmental, bend in their mind. I know that's a dream, but I really think that we can do that. We can make that happen. As far as how they can help now, we really do try to keep it positive and you can do something right now. So we have a lot of small actions. They can advocate. They can, you know, do cleanups. You were talking about the plastic bags. We had a team that went to grocery stores, and they stood outside and they talked to, you know, the people going in. They gave them bags, and it was all about not for their groceries but for their fruits and vegetables, right, which drives me insane. So we are trying to give them concrete actions, but really we're trying to plant the seed for these big, huge, you know, taking over the world, you know, leadership concepts so that they can do that. You know, I think, well, I think we all know, you know, the climate crisis is the thing. It's the biggest thing. And our campaign this next year is focusing on that. But within that, there's really five different areas that, you know, are a real problem. There's energy, transportation, food, you know, waste. And so our students are going to be able to dive into one of those and pick some really interesting topics. But in the end, you know, right now, like single-use plastic, Kelly, when you said that, that was when the governor said, okay, everyone has to use plastic bags, and we want to use those in restaurants, like, you know, plastic silverware.
Heartbroken.
And our kids did not stop. They did not stop advocating. They're still going after their schools for those, you know, plastic sporks, and they're getting those things changed out, knowing that we will be able to go back to school someday. We will be able to go to grocery stores. But as an adult, I think taking actions every day with plastic is, you know, incredibly important. You can do that at home. You know, we do some seminars on things at businesses and homes, and, you know, if you really stop and look at everything you do in a day and the amount of plastic that comes in and out of your house, it's mind-boggling. You know, just focusing on that change the way you look at everything. I tried to do plastic-free July. It's a thing. And I realized day one I had already, you know, made a mistake.
I have to tell you, first off, it took, I can't speak for anybody else, but me personally, it took me forever just remember to bring in my reusable bags to the grocery store, right? It was one of those things where I had them, and then I go to the store, and I'm like, oh, I left them at home. And then for several months, I was at the checkout line. I went, oh, I have the bags. They're in my car. I'll be right back. And now, you know, I just leave them on the passenger seat. You know, and I grab them, and I don't even think about it now. It's like putting on your seatbelt now. You don't even think about it. You go into the store with your reusable bags. And then this happens. And it's like, I bring my reusable bags. They said, no, we can't use these. And I was like, you know, it took me so long to get used to this, and now you're telling me I can't use them. But I have found a couple of stores where they now allow you to bring in your reusable bag. You just have to bag it yourself. Like Trader Joe's,
my Trader Joe's
has a bagging station outside. So you bring your cart or your basket out, and they have the tables, and you can put, which is what I've been doing. But I'm like, you can't retrain me to do something new and then turn around and tell me I can't do it anymore. So, and again, you know, you sound just as insane as I am about plastic. I mean, plastic. Plastic makes me crazy. I mean, 20 years ago, I stopped buying bottled water. You know, one day I'm looking at it, I'm like, look at all of these empty, you know, plastic bottles in my recycling bin. Why, you know, and we went straight to filters. We haven't bought plastic bottles. Because if anybody, I'm sure Grades of Green probably has some video or films you show the kids how plastic breaks down, but it never goes away, right?
Right.
And once you realize that, once it gets in your head, it's like embedded in there. And you're right. And you mentioned packaging. Packaging makes me nuts. The packaging that so many things come in. First of all, you can't get things open half the time. And then there's so much waste. There's so much waste. Everything you just said, you know, it's like you're standing here poking me in the ribs.
I'm sorry. I don't want to poke you, but we want to poke everyone because I totally agree on that. Because And seriously, the plastic bag thing, like when I finally realized, oh, Trader Joe's or Little Vons here in Manhattan Beach, they let you bag your groceries. The first time I went back in, I forgot my bag. I'm like, exactly what you're saying. I was a train. Yeah. So, yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because I hope everyone in Manhattan Beach knows many stores now are letting you, they're not advertising this, but you can't bring your bags in. You just have to, you know, bag your groceries, which I usually do anyway to be helpful. So, but yeah, so single-use plastic obviously is huge. I mean, when you talk about the plastic bottles, these kids in Manhattan Beach, they 2 years ago were advocating, like, to the district, like, we should not have plastic water bottles on our campuses. And they went before the district. They did a great presentation. They did the research on the numbers and how much it would be to use different kind of water, you know, in like, you know, cans or this. They came back to school actually this year, but last year, like in last September, and they had banned plastic bottles on all the elementary campuses. It was like they had made that happen. So they thought, well, why don't we get the whole district? Why aren't we the first district in the country to be plastic free? So that was their plan this year. They already had talked to Dr. Matthews. It was amazing. And their goal was not just to be plastic free during the school, but after, because that's the biggest, not the biggest problem, but like, you know, the soccer games, they're, you know, if you've ever seen their field after a soccer game. And so that they had this goal and they were doing it. So I think this year they'll get that done. But so plastic is, we don't want to poke you in the ribs, everyone, but we need to.
Yes. Yes. We all need a good, we all need a good poking once in a while.
I know. We'll do it gently, but we'll do that.
Oh, Joe, do you want to do a really quick, do you want to do a really quick station break? We're just so into the conversation. We're a little late.
Sure. I'd love to. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. Every Thursday and every Friday morning at 8 a.m., we bring to you a new local, hyper-local podcast. And I'm so thrilled to do that and so thrilled to participate. Thursdays is our South Bay Spotlight, highlighting some wonderful company or wonderful organization or wonderful individuals throughout the South Bay, from El Segundo to Palos Verdes, and then, of course, east to Torrance. And then Fridays, we feature, someone in the South Bay doing something fantastic and amazing, but with a special emphasis on Manhattan Beach and the members of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, our organizations around the world are being impacted by Grades of Green, and we're so thrilled to be highlighting them today. Please join us on Spotify and all of your favorite smart speakers, Alexa and Google and Siri. Thank you very much for joining us. That's it, Jackie. So now what? We have had our... and now I am still connected. Yes, hello.
No, I'm sorry. I am sorry, Joe. We had a little background echo, and I was trying to figure out where it was coming from. Sorry, I had to mute myself for a minute there. Kim... Let's get to what Kelly asked right at the top of the show about how COVID. Grades of Green is a nonprofit. You know, how is COVID affecting you financially? I mean, you told us about how you've had a pivot with what the kids are actually doing, but how else has it affected you?
Well, you know, it was really interesting. So as a lot of small nonprofits are, and the way they operate is they get funding from, you know, multiple sources. And one of those sources is our annual gala. It's called BART. It's in April. It's an awesome event. They've been doing it for 10 years. And it takes place in April, usually right around first day, which of course it was scheduled, and it brings in over a third of our revenue. So I'm just going to leave that out there, a third of our revenue. And our year runs from July 1st to June 30th. So with that having hit at the very end of the year, obviously that was a pretty large eye-opening experience. But we were very fortunate when I came on. I really one of the things with having a small nonprofit is there's always stress involved. I mean, even with for-profits, but especially with nonprofits, with, you know, gosh, where's the next dollar coming from? You know, where are we going to make payroll? And our team is so, the people that have been with Grades of Green, some of them for 8 years, they're amazing. Like they, I can't even tell you the work they do and the value they add and how dedicated they are. So when I came on a year and a half ago, I was like, I can't do that. I can't put people through that stress. So we really took a step back, luckily, at the beginning of last year and planned for sort of a stepping back year. Let's analyze where we are. Let's try to get some reserves. So when we came into that, it was going to be a real problem, but it wasn't going to be as bad as it could have been. And then we just we reached out. We I have to say I think we're one of the poster children as a good person for the PPP loan. It was very difficult for us. It was incredibly stressful to get it, but we are, you know, an organization that really benefited for that. So that helped a little bit. And then we went to our supporters. I'll be honest. I mean, we have an incredible group of individual supporters. There's, you know, a couple, especially in the South Bay, that are very generous. Our board stepped up, every one of them, in support. So on an individual basis, we reached out and just said, hey, can you help us? And people did. And then our funders. I mean, we are funded 100% by either individuals or, you know, foundations or cities. And they came through. You know, when you talk about local support, you know, LA Car Guy, Subaru Pacific, you know, Northrop. We have so many that are right here in the South Bay, and they were able to help us a little bit more than they had before. So that, you know, that really got us through. We also did some fun things with LA Kings. They said, hey, what are you doing with COVID? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And they're like, do you want to run a contest? We're like, okay. We did it with LA Sanitation. So we tried to engage the organizations that have helped us into actually reaching out to the students too. So, you know, that's what we did. And we ended up, I'm very proud that we ended up the year in the black. And I think we're set up to be able to, you know, to continue our programs, you know, with our funding sources, you know, but I was really surprised. I thought all the funding would dry up and everyone would put all of their dollars to COVID, which I completely understood. Let's be real. You know, there was a huge need. But that didn't happen. I mean, they did. A lot of people, of course, you know, changed course. But there was still this a really great population, I think, that truly understands that, yeah, COVID's bad, but the climate crisis is not going to go away. So when COVID is taken care of or when we have the vaccine, the climate crisis is still going to be here. We still need to support it, you know, and we'll be there for you. So I think we were really fortunate that we had such good supporters and we were able to make that change and really that people stepped up. It's really interesting. I don't know if you saw Bill Gates has a blog and he just has, you know, an article come out and the headline is COVID-19 is awful. Climate change could be worse. And he talks about how, I don't want to laugh about it, but how, you know, we can't take our eye off the ball on this just because there's a shiny thing over that everyone's focusing on. We really have to keep kind of focused on the climate crisis too. So I think a lot of people believe that. But yeah, we were able to survive, and I think it's because the help of, you know, government, individuals, and corporations. I mean, and then companies. So yeah, we were grateful.
All right, Kelly, okay. Have you gotten over your disgust of the plastic bags? Are you okay?
No, I'm not. it's just so fun. And I know Manhattan Beach has come out and said, you know, they've supported the several-year-old plastic bag ban and said, no, plastic bags in Manhattan Beach are not acceptable. You are allowed and you need to take your reusable bags into your stores in Manhattan Beach. So not all cities have the same kind of strict, city ordinances too. So Manhattan Beach is trying to get back on, the bandwagon. And I agree with you, Jackie. It's like once you start doing that, it's like, no, no, no. Those are part of me. That's part of the environment, the way of life. We've got to bring those things back. But, it's funny. I made the analogy at the beginning of the pandemic when we all kind of started wearing face masks here and there. And then it got a little stricter. And I said, at first we were all scrambling, for a face mask. Like you couldn't find them. You couldn't get them. Everybody was converting, interesting fabrics into face masks and scrambling to get your first face mask. And, and I said, I go, watch these in a few months, this will be the new reusable grocery bag.
Yeah.
Right now we have one. We don't really want to wear it. Which no one really wanted to use the reusable grocery bag, whatever, 10 years ago. I go, you have one, you had to scramble to get it. You don't always remember to wear it. You don't always want to wear it. And watch, I go, in a few months, we're all going to have like 5 or 10 of them. And, sure enough, you keep those in your front seat too, right? It's like, they just become a way of life. But Kim, we are so appreciative of everything that Grades of Green is doing and has done. Your programs are just amazing for the kids. I know, my kids are one in college and one out of college, but they both benefited from Grades of Green and growing up. I remember the trash challenge. I think that was like when my kids were in fifth grade. I remember the dumpster diving, all those fun things. And I can't wait to see a lot of that return when obviously, all kids can get back into the schools too. But what an impact you guys have made, not only on the environment, massive impact, but definitely, with all the kids and the families, because kids will go home and say, Mom, put that in the recycling bin, not in that bag. I just love it. You guys have created a movement. How many states are you guys in now, Kim?
We've been in 47 states. So each campaign, obviously, we have new students and teams. So we've been in 47 states and 27 countries. So we have some teams. We're global. And we really, as far as the global, haven't recruited. They just have heard about us. It's like a little ripple effect. We have a team in Cameroon. His name is Paris. He's extraordinary. In fact, after he worked with us, the UN World Oceans Day, they came to us and they said, hey, is there anyone that would want to speak? So we recommended Paris and he spoke at the UN. So he then, because he was so excited and so engaged, he all these other students that he worked with. So we have like 10 or 15 people from Cameroon now signed up for the climate campaign. So we're really proud of our global work. And as far as the national, same as global, we never say no to any interested student. It's always a trick on how we expand in areas, because like Manhattan Beach is a perfect case study of the dramatic effect if you have more than one school or more than one student team involved, right? So if you have a team at every school, the environmental effects just go up, tenfold. So we're working really right now on how can we work with like school districts and make sure that these kids know about this, that the teachers know about it. We're actually putting together a teacher training. Each of our teams has an adult, lead that helps them. And we're going to include a stipend. I mean, we really feel like teachers obviously are underpaid and overworked, but they want to help us. So we are doing that for them this next year. So that's really exciting. Yeah, and our goal really is to provide a pathway for these kids. So if they jump on an elementary school, they're going to have different types of lessons. Right now, our programs for the climate campaign are focused middle and high school and this leadership program we're starting is really going to be for high school. So the idea is they can continue with us, so they can start out doing their habit change. And you're right, Kelly, going home and telling your parents what to do. They listen. Oh, my gosh, you know, turn off the light, do whatever. So we start with that. Then it moves into a little bit of advocacy, you know, making the big changes, going before the city of Manhattan Beach and asking for them to stop, you know, plastic bags, and then really becoming leaders and leading other students in the community to make changes. So, you know, we're excited that we're expanding and, you know, really looking forward to this next year, you know, coming up. Hopefully we'll be back in school soon, but I think it might be a while. I don't know.
I wonder when we are going to get back to school.
I don't know, Kelly. I was in. No.
Go ahead, Kim.
I wish Kelly had a magic wand or could tell us. I know that you probably are in on all these calls and that. And I don't think there's an answer, right, Kelly? Are there any?
I dressed up as the fairy godmother, I think, like when I was like 8. I did have a little magic wand. I have to find that picture somewhere. That's pretty funny. You just made me think of that. Yes, I do sit on all these calls. I'm involved in so many different conversations. And there is no magic wand. There is no crystal ball. There's, you know, a couple different, you know, things working. I think, you know, after the current surge that we are in, that we're coming out of, fortunately, it is starting to decline. Doesn't mean, hopefully it'll stay that way. I think all levels of government will be a little more conservative in reopening some of the businesses that are completely shut down again or only able to operate outside. I think a lot of the higher government feels like they were reopened too fast at the beginning of summer. Right or wrong or whatever your opinion is, we'll see how the next round goes. I can tell you that on a city level, because everybody knows, I'll just remind, you know, the governor makes, you know, an executive order, and then that trickles down to the county level that can make the order stricter and augment it for their county, and then the city can make it even stricter for their city. The county can't make it less restrictive than the state, and the city can't make it less restrictive than the county or the state. So there's a process. However, they all talk, and they're all on calls a couple times a week collaborating. And I know our mayor has said that once our city in particular, I'm sure many cities are working on this, have 14 consecutive days of only 0 to 1, maybe 2, but 0 to 1 new cases reported in their city, 14 consecutive days of that, then they can go kind of, you know, request of the county and the state to reopen some of the businesses, like, let's just say, personal services, hair, nails, massage, and allow them to operate, you know, fully, like indoor type of, you know, functions, obviously with all the protocol, maybe get some indoor dining back, so forth and so on. But, you know, if a city wants to kind of augment and ask for special provisions outside of what the county and the state executive orders are, that's kind of what has to happen before they can even think about making that request. With that being said, I think we're all realizing that the pandemic is, you know, here to stay for quite some time. Gone are the days of thinking it'd be over by Memorial Day and, oh, maybe by the end of summer, and, oh, let's reschedule that event that was in April or May to October. Remember when we were all doing that, Kim? We were all rescheduling our events for the fall, you know. Well, that's going you know, by the wayside too. So it is going to be here. It's going to be a long haul. It's just a matter of how we can, you know, infection control. And so it's going to be a while there. It's not going to happen, you know, next week for sure. Sorry.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's my, yeah. It's okay. We'd rather have, we We want the truth. But, yeah, no. I mean, we have to do what we have to do. I think the city's done an extraordinary job. I tell Richard that a lot. I think it's such a hard – I can't even imagine trying to lead a city or a government through this. So I think we all just have to stay the course, wear our masks. I was laughing, Kelly, when you said that about the bags, forgetting the bags. I mean, I've got like 12 masks. They're by the front door. And still, one out of 10 times when I walk out of my house, I forget the mask. I mean, I remember it as soon as I get to the street. But it's so odd how, it changed from the one mask to maybe I'll wear it if I don't see anyone, something. It's really interesting. But hopefully people are jumping on board and following the protocol. Cause I think, just that 14 days, when you say that, I think people might go, oh, wow, we can do that. We can all work together on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, listen, Kim, I want you to give us contact information. If anybody wants to get in touch with Greatest Green, your website, whatever, email, phone number, whatever you want to give us. And then we have a couple of minutes left. If you want to give a shout out to any of your sponsors, we always like to do that.
You can www.gradesofgreen.com is our website. You can contact us through there. All of our contact information is on there, including my cell phone and email. So we would love you to go visit the site and take a look around. We have lots of information in our reports and campaign reports. One of the things we do is our students have to at the end do a report with measurable outcomes. So it shows you, how many tons of waste we diverted and, water saved. So it's really kind of fun and interesting. And also, you can see what the work they're doing is. So please visit that. Any student or parent that wants to get involved, there's a information form and we'll, talk to them. We can help them through a team. Because they're at stay at home in September, it's an awesome activity because our programs are really engaging and they're project-led. It's not a typical curriculum. So, if the student is like needs some things to do or has an interest in the environment, it's great. It's free. It's easy. And so please, take a look at that. As far as our funders, obviously I mentioned the board and the individual donors that have been great. But Waste Management, when you mentioned that, they were one of our founding funders, and they fund us every year. Southern California Edison and SoCal Gas, which you mentioned on the Wednesday thing. Kelly, I'm going to jump on that, by the way. LA Car Guys and Subaru have been fabulous long-term. Grandview PTA continues, which I just think is so awesome of them to help out. AEG, I'm just doing the local, AEG Foundation. King's Care has been terrific. Sony just recently has helped. Newman's Own Foundation and Johnson Ohana, of course, they're just because of the environment. But what I really think is amazing is our city support. So we have City of Manhattan Beach and City of Santa Monica, longtime supporters, the Downtown Business Association with their Farmers Market, and Janice Hahn supports us. And then Sanitation District of L.A., they're also big-time supporters of us every year. We have a nice local range. And I mentioned Northrop Grumman and Boeing, Continental Development with Sherry, when you said that there's so many people, I wish I could just name them all, but thank you for letting me do that because I feel like we never are able to really thank them in public. So I appreciate you giving me the time to do that.
We are so glad you joined us today. This is such an amazing group and, it's just one more thing that makes the South Bay what it is. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and for just supporting Grades of Green through this. And Kelly, through all of your work, and Jackie, and take your bags to the grocery store. Don't forget.
Yes, you can bag all of your own stuff at Target. So you can take your own bags to Target and bag your own stuff, and it's very convenient.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you shared that. I haven't been to Target, but I'm glad to hear that. That makes me happy.
Yes. Yes. That's wonderful.
All right, Joe, we got to wrap it up. Got to wrap it up.
Okay.
We got some weekending to do.
Weekending. thank you so much, Kim, Executive Director, Grades of Green. Thank you for joining us today. And
thank you
Kelly.
Me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe and Jackie. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye,
have
everyone. We're going
to
get through this.
Look forward to
this.
Yes, we will. We're all
bye-bye.
Through it. Yes. Bye.
Bye.